We're doing the Sefer Masiyot, and we had learned last time that Hashem says that when a person does tshuva, then that carries more weight than a person who never sinned. Because if a person's a tzaddik, so he never tasted anything other than that. But if a person once had a different lifestyle and he overcame that, that's much greater. And our sages compared this to two allegories. Number one is, if a person purchased two cows, and he raised them, and he fed them, and he gave them to drink, and he taught them how to stand in their place all night, and they stood their ground all night long, they'd be in their corral. And then one day, one of the cows ran away. Another cow stood there, she's still in her corral. So the guy was worried, where did his good old Flossie go? And he's looking here and there for his cow. And after a period, after he'd already given up that he'd ever see Flossie again, she came back, and she was in her corral, and he was very happy. And that night he gave her to eat. And when he gave her to eat, he looked at her fondly, and he was more fond of her than he was of the cow that he'd been with all the time. As I'll say, a person that does tshuva is like that cow, is like a child that goes away and you keep wondering and waiting and praying, when's he ever going to come back? And when he finally does come back, then the amount of worry that went over his return, so that's how Chazal described one way of understanding why Baal tshuva has higher ground than someone who never left. And the second allegory is a person who planted two trees. One gave its fruit right away, and the other one didn't give anything. And the guy was very upset that he had a tree that didn't give any fruit, and he gave up on it. And after a period, suddenly that tree also gave its fruits. He was very happy, and he was even happier than the first one. And that's the Baalei Tshuva in the world to come. In the world to come, Hashem says, I was so worried about you, now you finally made it. So in that sense, Hashem is even happier with the Baal Tshuva than someone who never left. Our sages said, G'dolat Tshuva, how great is Tshuva, she mevi'ah refuot ba'olam. It brings cures to the world. As the verse says, Shuvu banim shovavim, return, Hashem says, and I will heal you. So our sages say it means God will bring new forms of medicine to the world in the merit of tshuva. It's interesting that modern medicine makes advancements, tshuva makes advancements. Our sages say tshuva is so great that it reaches the heavenly throne. Our sages say tshuva is so great that if one person does a tshuva, so then Hashem brings forgiveness to the rest of the world as well. And we know that Hashem is willing to accept a person's tshuva even an hour before he dies. We never know when we're going to die. And so we should always take into account that maybe tomorrow is our last day. So that way we spend our whole life realizing that we have no guarantee on tomorrow and doing tshuva today. So Hashem's kindness is that Hashem says, I create the cure before I create the illness. And our sages say seven things preceded the creation of the world. And one of them is tshuva. It says, before I created the world and the potential for sin, I had to create the potential for people to do tshuva from the sin. So Hashem should give us the merit to be from those that merit the Garden of Eden. As King David said, Todieni o chaim, give me the way of life. Teach me the way of life. And if it wouldn't be too lengthy, he says, I would take the time to explain what the tzaddikim and the Baalei Tshuva are going to get in the world to come and what the Rishama are going to get in perdition. And maybe I'll compile a different work about that, he says, because that deserves its own piece. But now we got to get back to the point of this whole book, and we'll get back with the story. The story was, there were two brothers, and one of them liked to do kindness and charity, and he was poor. And the other one was the exact opposite. He hated doing any charity. He hated doing any kindness. And he was very wealthy. And it was Hoshana Rabbah. And the wife of the pauper said, take, we have a few coins. Go and buy your kids something in honor of the holiday. So he took the money. And he went. And as he's going, the collectors who were in charge of the fund to help the poor bumped into him. And they said, maybe you could help us out. We have an important case of charity. And he gave them all the money he had. Now he says, uh-oh, now I got to get home. What's my wife going to say? I got nothing to bring home the kids in honor of the holiday. So he says, better not go home right now. He goes to shul. It's Hoshana Rabbah. It's the last day before Shemini Atzeres. In the morning, everyone shook their lulav and esrog. And then they put him down in shul. They're finished with them. They got nothing left to do with them. So he went to shul and he figured, on Hoshana Rabbah, everyone leaves their esrogim lying around. I'll collect all the esrogim in shul, and I'll be able to bring those home for my kids. He collected the esrogim. And the way Rav Nisim Gaon describes the story, he went to the port and boarded a ship that was headed to the capital. But the Medrash quotes the story differently. The Medrash quotes that he gave the money to charity, and he went to shul, and he took the esrogim and filled the sack. No, the Medrash over here says the same story. There's another Medrash that, other than the Medrash Rama, there's a different Medrash that says he fell asleep, and then they bumped into him. But okay, so we'll continue with the story the way it's written here. That he went to the capital, and the king had a terrible stomach ache, and he was ill. And and the night before, he had a dream where they told him, the only way you will be cured is if you take the esrogim that the Jews used on Sukkot. And the king wanted to get those esrogim, but he didn't know where to get them. So he sent his men, and as his men were traveling, and we'll pick up here, Bezrat Hashem, next time.